Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday, and I am so happy to hear that intro theme song by Aaron Schill playing, because it has been almost a month since the last time I was here in the studio. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England. I'm your host, Amelia, and I am joined today by the lead investigator for the New York State branch of Long Island Paranormal Investigators, Will Fox. Hey, Will, how are ya?
I'm doing well. Amelia, how are you doing?
I am pretty good. So we have had Will on the show a couple times before. This is his first time co-hosting with me, and I'm so excited to have you. First episode of 2020. How was your new year?
It was great. It was ghost-filled and not really, but it was good.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and you had an exciting holiday time. This is your first holiday in the new house, engaged, and that must have been great.
Yeah, it was great. It's a very, very crazy time in the household, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. But now here we are in January, and things have kind of slowed down a little bit. And we are going to shake them up, shake all the cold off of everyone right now, because we are talking about something very cool today. And that thing we are talking about today is the djinn.
Yes, and I think, I know this podcast doesn't do demons, but I think this might be the closest you guys will come.
I was actually going to say that, literally the closest we could get without covering demons. So it's a little spookier than what we usually do here. So, if you spook easily, then keep listening. Get spooked, because you're listening to ghosts anyway. Okay, so let's just dive right on in. Okay, so let's just jump right on into this. I have a bit of the history and about these djinn here with me, and then we're going to get into some stories from people. So, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, a djinni, plural djinn, which actually is something I didn't really realize. You know, I feel like I've known a lot about the djinn, but djinn is actually the plural, so that refers to like all of them. So the djinni, which as we have taken it into the Western culture, call them genies, is a supernatural spirit below the level of angels and devils. Djinn are beings of flames or air who are capable of assuming human or animal form and are said to dwell in all conceivable inanimate objects, stones, trees, ruins, underneath the earth, in the air, and in fire. They possess the bodily needs of human beings and can even be killed, but they are free from all physical restraints. Djinn delight in punishing humans for any harm done to them, intentionally or unintentionally, and are said to be responsible for many diseases and all kinds of accidents. However, those human beings knowing the proper magical procedure can exploit the djinn to their advantage. Belief in djinn was common in early Arabia, where they were thought to inspire poets and soothsayers, otherwise known as psychics or oracles. Even Muhammad originally feared that his revelations might be the work of djinn. Their existence was further acknowledged in official Islam, which indicated that they, like human beings, would have to face eventual salvation or damnation. Djinn, especially through their association with magic, have always been favorite figures in North Africa, Egyptian, Syrian, Persian, and Turkish folklore. In India and Indonesia, they have entered local Muslim imaginations by way of the Quranic descriptions and Arabic literature. An article from Vice published in 2018 goes on to say, djinn, who are a part of Islam but are not worshipped in it, with their free will and obscurity, have too much to teach us about a culture, a people, and their multiple religions to be forgotten. Neither inherently good nor bad, djinn are amorphous entities, able to take the shape of humans and animals alike. Their role in society, too, has been malleable. Djinn have served as a source of inspiration for both the most esteemed classical Arab poets in the first millennium and Disney in 1992. Both before and after Islam's introduction, which included mentions of the djinn in the Quran, djinn have remained an inexplicable entity. The Orthodox scholars say you can't understand djinn. Arabic literature researcher, oh gosh, I'm going to screw this name up, but I believe it is, Sanila Mubayi, tells broadly, still, despite their mysterious nature, there are some things historians, Islamic scholars, and believers of jinn have come to discern about the spirits. According to Amari El-Zen in her book, Islam, Arabs, in the intelligent world of jinn, pagan Arabs worshipped jinn long before Islam was introduced in the 7th century. Believing that spirits were masters of certain crafts and elements of nature who had the power to turn plots of land fertile, jinn are believed to both interact with humans in our reality and lead their own lives in a separate realm. As spiritual entities, the jinn are considered dual-dimensional, with the ability to live and operate in both manifest and invisible domains. Jinn are considered part of the al-ghaib, or the unseen. As invisible entities with abstract definitions, belief in them manifests differently between communities and individuals. For instance, while some Islamic scholars agree that they are capable of possession, others do not. Still, in both past and present stories, those possessed by jinn are not hard to find. Exorcisms can involve reciting the Quran over a person or, more rarely, physically beating the jinn out of them. Yikes. Gosh.
Yeah.
I know, right? It's performed in circles on those thought to be possessed by the jinn, despite being condemned by mainstream Muslims. People who partake in the latter believe that the pain is not felt by the person who the genie occupies, but the genie themselves. And while reading the Quran is a popular exorcism method, jinn's links to possession predate Islam. The Arabs of pre-Islam invented a whole set of exorcism procedures to protect themselves from the evil actions of the jinn on their bodies and minds, such as the use of beads, incense, bones, salt, and charms written in Arabic, Hebrew, and Syriac, or the hanging around their necks of dead animal teeth, oh my goodness, such as a fox or a cat, to frighten the jinn and keep them away. And that is according to El-Zain's book. In Arabic, the word manjan, meaning possessed, mad, or insane, literally means possessed by a genie. So, actually, I find that part pretty interesting. I just want to stop for a second there.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie, I was, as I was driving here, I was just casually listening to jinn possession tapes on YouTube. And it's scary.
Aren't they horrific?
It's scary. It's really scary.
And, you know, I've heard it on other podcasts as well. You know, you listen to these audio tapes and these people, whether they're possessed or not, they truly believe it, because there is no way to go in. If these people are faking it and they know they're faking it, then they must be Hollywood actors, because these tapes are, man, I've never heard some of those sounds come out of humans before.
It is very true. And actually, you mentioned other podcasts, but I know you and I both listened to the Unbelievable podcast, and they did an episode of it, and they actually had some of that stuff on there too. And it's frightening. So if anyone wants to just listen to like a funny podcast that has this, we're not going to be playing any of that on here. I don't want any of that on the show, because it like freaks me out. But, you know, it's scary. And it's what I didn't realize too is it is so prevalent. You know, whenever you hear of exorcisms, you always think of, I mean, at least I do, in like the Christian religion and what goes on there with them. But there are a lot of people who, like, as you said, at very least believe they are being possessed by the jinn.
Right. And it's so prevalent in those societies that it's comparative to, what are they called, ultra churches or something like that. They get televised and they do these, I guess you could call it exorcisms on TV, where they make a big spectacle of releasing the evil spirits from these people. And that's exactly what they do with the jinn in these cultures. And they televise it, they put it on the radio. And I guess it's so prevalent that they just have these, you know, dozens, at least hundreds of people where they could do these exorcisms. And it's crazy. It really is truly crazy.
It is crazy and it's scary. One of the reasons why the jinn is so, like immensely interesting to me. I think there are a few reasons. I think maybe one of it is like I was raised Christian and we don't have this equivalent. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing right. in our yep. religion that in any way is like this. And I'm going to get more into that as I keep going, but they're not demons. They're not angels.
Right.
They're kind of like us.
Well, they're other beings. Like,
right.
You know, there's a lot that goes into the origins, but essentially they, you know, Muslims believe that Allah created the jinn and then also created humans. And then the jinn just refused to cooperate and coexist with humans. That's why they were banished to the fifth dimension. So they essentially are just other beings just like us that live in the fifth dimension, just like we live in the third dimension, but they just were banished there because of their hatred for us.
Yeah, and it's wild too because they can kind of slink in between the dimensions, which we
exactly.
can't. I mean, if we talk about like 10 or 11 dimensions, I mean, they slink all over the place. So that's one of the issues with them is how easy it is for them to interact with us and
right.
looking like us and acting as us. And I think that's a really like a misconception of what we have over here, because when you hear genie, everyone automatically thinks of Aladdin.
Exactly. And, Robin Williams.
Right. And that's not what these really are. Like, that's not an accurate interpretation
not
of the
at
jinn.
All.
So
because, you know, before I think this goes for just about anybody in at least the United States. But the first time I even heard about, I can't even say the heard about jinn because I hadn't at that point, where it was Aladdin, where you hear about genies.
Right.
But you hear about genies, you don't even think that there's this whole evil side of jinn, that, or technically genies, I guess, that you don't even think about. You know, I didn't know jinn were a thing until I joined Long Island Paranormal Investigators.
Right. Well, that's it, right? Like, you think of, like, I dream of genie. And, like, all my research and everything says that there are good ones. Like, there are good ones and bad ones. Like, they're not inherently bad. They're not inherently good. But you never hear stories right. about good ones.
Yeah, there's a few out there, but they generally don't end well. You know,
and that's
what I
mean.
The jinn
like,
itself, right, exactly. The jinn itself might be maybe not evil, but interacting with a jinn never is a good thing.
No, you don't want to hang with them.
Right.
So, which brings me to a little poem I found. So, as we were saying, they can possess us, they can converse with us, but they can also fall in love with us or into bed with us. Pre-Islamic poet Tabata Sharan once wrote about sleeping with a jinniya, which is the feminine form of genie, in a poem called How I Met the Ghoul. But it's spelled ghoul, and I don't know if this is like a typo or if it's like poetic license, but it's G-H-U-L, so it's not like a typical like ghoul. It's like a ghoul, like almost as
if
like
a
girl. You know what I mean?
Maybe like a translation type. Oh, yeah, actually, that's a good point. Maybe
yeah.
It might be that.
So I don't know. But it says...
We're not cultured enough to know.
No, not at all. I lay upon her through the night, that in the morning I might see what had come to me. Behold, two eyes and a hideous head, like the head of a cat, split-tongued. Legs like a deformed fetus, the back of a dog. Clothes of haircloth or worn-out skins. And that's the poem. And that poem
wow.
has, yeah. And that is a pre-Islamic poem. So that has survived just hundreds and hundreds of years, that poem.
What is that? The tail end of that? It said worn out skins?
Worn out skins.
That's attractive.
I mean, you know.
Yikes.
Legs like a deformed fetus. I know. It's shocking. So I think that what it is like, you know, I was with her all night and then I woke up in the morning and there was this like creature next to me. Like they shapeshift. That's a big thing with jinn is that they can shapeshift. They can go in between being humans, being animals, being really scary. It's scary stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, and you know, on that note of them being able to shapeshift, I mean, there are certain things that they can't shapeshift into. Like, I know Like, they can't shapeshift into Jesus, which I'm not really sure why, because they're, a Muslim entity, or at least stemming
So,
from.
as I understand it, Jesus is in the Quran.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah,
Now that's something I don't know.
I believe that is true. I am at, and someone please write into the show and correct me if I'm wrong about this.
I could very well be wrong about this.
Because I'm pretty sure that he is, because when we were growing up, the neighbors across the street, they were from Algeria. And like their daughter and I, we were like the same age, we hung out all the time. And I remember them saying that like Jesus is like in their religion, but he's not like the main guy. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
It'd be like
Okay.
if there was another religion somewhere else in the world where like the disciple Paul was like the big guy. You know what, does that make sense?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's true. I could be really wrong on that. This is not, I'm not trying to be factual.
It would make sense why they wouldn't be able to shapeshift into him then, because I mean it they can't do Jesus apparently, also angels or wolves for some
Wolves.
reason.
Yeah, wolves.
Which is what, yeah, that's an interesting part of that, because it doesn't seem to tie into anything religious. So I'm not really sure why they wouldn't be able to.
So,
It's interesting to think about that.
yeah, so I found some stuff on that too, and I believe it was because they said that the wolves could go after the djinn and find the djinn. And so that's
Oh.
why they could, like, the wolves were hunters of them. So that's why they couldn't shapeshift into that, but they often shapeshift into black dogs.
Yes, yeah, I saw that. Also, camels and snakes.
Yeah, which is snakes is the big one. I feel like
Right.
everyone should really watch out for snakes.
I mean, snakes are generally something I avoid outside, for sure.
Yeah, I think we all should be avoiding them more. You know, I think
Yeah.
I really do. Like I like snakes. I'm in like, you know, I love all animals and like I'm really into nature. But like, you know, spooky things are always snakes for a reason, and I think we should all just like stop getting snakes as pets. Stop playing around with snakes. That's how I feel. Like they're cool out in nature, but
I'm sure there's plenty of people that will disagree with you, but I'm on your side. I don't do
I mean,
reptiles.
you know, I'm a vegan and I like other reptiles, like I'm down, but like I don't know. I just feel snakes are kind of weird. I don't know. I just be careful with what
Well, if you want
everyone's
to get
doing.
the rest of the audience back on your boat,
Yeah.
apparently Jin can also they can also shape shift into spiders. So I
Ooh.
don't know very many people that like spiders, so let's just stay away from spiders and snakes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, don't kill them, but like,
No,
let
of
them, let,
course
if
not.
they're in your house, all right, if they're in your house, do the piece of paper under the cup, take them outside. What we're saying is don't like bring them into your house. How's that? Does that make
Right.
sense?
Okay, well, let's go with that.
That's how I feel. That's my paranoid vegan opinion
That's your
on.
daily message from the ASPCA.
There you go. Okay, yeah. So, you know, they can kind of manifest into just about everything. As we were saying, they have the zoomorphic manifestations.
So there are several different types of djinn. Generally, they almost like levels of strength. The most powerful ones are black djinn. They're generally known as the king of the djinn world. And I have the names of all of these levels, and I'm gonna try my best. But I'm going to butcher all of them. I already know that. But the black djinn are generally called Shamir. Shamir. Probably Shamir. Okay, so, and also red djinn. Red djinn are very old and powerful. They're the second ones below black djinn. They worship Iblis, and Iblis is the head djinn, kind of like Lucifer with demons. And their ultimate goal is to destroy humanity, as are most djinn. They were once blue djinn, and they broke away from the class system, becoming kind of like rebellious almost. And they are called Shayatin and Ifrit. So those are two different names for the red djinn. Like I said, I'm butchering all of these. The next level down is blue djinn. They're pretty powerful as well. They're considered almost like the elders and clan leaders of the djinn world. They have little to no interaction with humans. I would consider them more like managers, upper level managers of the djinn world. So they generally don't interact with humans very much. Humans interact with much lower level djinn more often than not. And the blue djinn are generally called Marit, Marid, Marid, Necrotil, and Afreet. I am doing my best, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I think you're doing a great job.
I hope so.
Just say it with confidence.
The next level down is Yellow Djinn. They're kind of like middle-aged djinn with a considerable amount of power. They're the family leaders of the djinn world, and they generally don't have any interest in humans or the physical world, but they do share the general want and need of djinn of destroying humans. But they're just kind of like not interested in it at that level for some reason. And they're called the Ifriti. And then you've got the green djinn, who are the most common. They're the youngest and least powerful of all djinn. They're very curious about humans, and they like to interact with us in our world. These are the more like trickster djinn that we encounter, as well as the ones that, as we have already heard, there's stories of people falling in love with djinn. Mm-hmm. These are generally green djinn that we encounter with. And they like to play pranks on humans.
They almost kind of remind me of like fairies.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You know, like not how we think of them now, but like the original fairies, like really like tricky and
right,
always trying to get one over on you.
It reminds me of, I mean, I'm a big Marvel fan, so it almost reminds me, well, I guess it's technically Greek mythology too, but Loki, where Loki is like the god of trickery and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. But they're also generally the most annoying because that's, like I said, the green djinn are what we deal with as humans the most, which is probably a good thing because they are the least powerful.
Yeah.
But they do have several different names they're going to call. Oh, boy. They are called Aranam, Kukas, Amar, Arwa, John, and Amir. So they have all different kinds of names. But those are the levels of djinn. Just to recap, from strongest to weakest, it's the black djinn, the red djinn, the blue djinn, the yellow djinn, and then the green djinn.
Interesting stuff. Did you say one of those names was John?
It's kind of looks like John. It's J-A-N-N.
Oh, okay.
John.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I butchered the name. Don't worry.
No, you did great. All right. So, yeah, that's all about the djinn. Now we know a little bit more about them. Now let's get to the good part. Let's hear some stories. Will actually found a whole bunch. Yeah.
I've got quite a few. So these are pretty short stories, but they're all, I like these stories because they're relatable. They're very short, but they're not like movie stories. They're not big, flashy, made-up stories. They're just probably the most common stories where it's just something weird happens and that's just the story that you have. I'm going to read a couple of these off. The first one here says, "One time my mother-in-law was sitting in her bed. She looked over and saw a woman sitting in a chair next to her bed with long pointy fingers and a face with very sharp angles. She was so frustrated and annoyed with the djinn that they see a lot in their house and they are no longer afraid, just really annoyed by them, that she reached out and grabbed the djinn by its wrist. She yelled, 'Get out. I'm tired of you. Get out.' Uh-oh. It tried to pull its wrist away and eventually tried to bite her hand because she wouldn't let it go. She pulled her hand away before it bit her, and then the djinn vanished." And that's the end of that one. So that was quite the interesting story.
That is. That's bold. That is bold.
Yeah. To be so sick of djinn, to have them in your house so much to just basically yell at it.
Yeah.
But I guess we're learning that that's effective. Yeah. I don't think I'd have the strength to just yell at a djinn like that.
There would have to be a lot of them, and they'd have to really be getting under my skin.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were at that point.
So yeah.
I guess I can't blame them. All right, so our second story of the night, this one says, there was a man who went to his village, Mashid. Wow, I think I nailed that one, Mashid.
Yeah, that sounds,
I'm proud of myself,
that sounds
Amelia.
Good. That sounds really good.
There was a man who went to his village, Mashid, to pray Fajir every morning. The Mashid is on a dirt road, and the front door leads directly into the prayer area. One morning, when he went to pray, he found no one else there, so he prayed by himself at the front of the room. While he was praying, he undoubtedly felt, quote-unquote, a presence behind him, as if there were people standing behind him. Furthermore, he felt as if there was a bright light shining behind him. After his prayer, he quickly turned around to find the room was empty, just as he entered it. That same day, he ran into a friend of his who was like, "Hey, I saw there was a huge turnout at Fajar today. I walked by the machine, and through the front door, I could see rows and rows of men all dressed in white." That's the end of that one, which is that's really interesting.
Yeah.
To have, especially if there's that many, where to the point where there's tons and tons of people in there. That's a lot of jinn at one place.
That is. Yeah, that is interesting.
It makes you wonder why they would even gather in that one spot.
Right, that's what I was thinking of. Like, what reason would they have to all be there?
All right, the next story starts when I was little in Sudan. My family had a farm, and it was a very special place to me. But this farm, wonderful as it was terrifying at night. That might have something to do with the fact that the farm is between the Nile and a graveyard.
Ooh.
And one day, as we were pulling up to the farm, I saw a fire that was the size of a person. That is to say, a fire that was exactly the size of a human being from far away from the farmhouse, and there was no smoke. Casually, I watched this fire take a few steps to the left while nothing else caught on fire, and it would then vanish. You might say that I had an overactive imagination as a 10-year-old, but I would say you are incorrect because I remember it incredibly vividly. I told my mom, I told my dad, and one of them casually mentioned that I might have seen a jinn.
Wow, that one is scary.
That's my favorite one. Well, my least favorite one, because that is terrifying.
That is really, really spooky. That is so spooky. Because I can like envision what that would look like too. You know what I mean? Like, that's horrifying to just like walk out and see like a fire person. Ugh.
A giant smokeless fire person.
That's the thing. It's smokeless fire. It's not like a person on fire. It's like a fire person. Like, that is horrifying.
Especially as a 10-year-old. I couldn't imagine seeing something like that at 10.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like kids always see more. It's like they're like more open.
Sure. And then to have your parents, one of your parents, I like how they didn't mention who it was that
it was dad.
Mentioned it.
You know, it was dad.
It was probably dad. Yeah, it's probably dad. But they casually say, "Oh, yeah, it might have been a gin."
Yeah, it might have been gin.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Go back outside.
All right. So our next story, it says, when I started writing about gins, I would have these very interesting, vivid, imaginary encounters with jinns. I was just about to move to Egypt, and I had this small room in which I had a large desk, which was too large for the room, and a bed. And in order to get to bed, I had to push the desk chair all the way under the desk because there wasn't enough room for me to get in and out otherwise. So one night, I had gone to sleep and sort of half woke because I thought I had heard somebody clearing their throat or moving something. And there in the desk chair staring at me was this guy, this man with scraggly long hair and these extremely intense eyes. And he was just looking. As I sat straight up there in bed and screamed, as one might, naturally, you know how the story ends. There was nothing there, of course. The interesting thing, and the reason why this stuck with me in a way that most dreams I had as a kid did not, was because the chair that I had to push all the way under the desk in order to get into the bed had been pulled out and was facing the bed when I woke up.
Ooh, that's a spooky story. I like that story.
That's pretty significant. I like that one a lot.
That's a good one. That's like your classic story. I like it.
You get a lot of that with ghosts where you feel like you're having a dream and then you wake up, but something in the room is altered the same way that you saw it in your dream.
Kind of
just.
Oh, sorry. Whew. Oh, sorry. Someone.
Oh, you okay?
I'm fine. Yeah. No, someone's put a note on our door here at the studio and all of a sudden something looked like it was coming at me. I'm so sorry. I really apologize. Yeah, these stories are really getting to me. All right, let's do one more gin story.
Okay. All right, so our last story of the night. This one says, 6 years ago, we moved houses and everything was fine until we stupidly got out the Ouija board.
Oh, gosh.
I know how this starts.
Yeah. Oh, Good. I hope this is a good don't do Ouija board story.
This is the first time I've heard a Ouija board getting involved with a djinn.
Oh,
this
yeah. Actually, you're right about that.
World's colliding. It says, we asked it some questions, and it somehow came up with a phone number. We called the phone number. Bad idea. And I don't remember what the name was, but the name the board gave us matched the person.
Oh,
so we hung
yikes.
Up. And then a few days later, my mom heard a voice calling her name from downstairs. She thought it was my dad, so she went downstairs, but it was a white shape. So we called an imam, which I'm going to come out of the story for a second. I'm not sure if we mentioned that before, but an imam is basically essentially what a priest is to do an exorcism, yeah. Except with jinn. So we called an imam, and we thought that we had gotten rid of it, but it didn't. It kept happening to us. We kept hearing out names coming from downstairs, even though there was no one downstairs. So we promptly moved. I love that.
That's good. That is good. That is what you should do. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, that's great. Those are awesome stories. And I feel we learned a lot about the djinn. And I've obviously spooked myself out tonight listening to all this. But yeah, great. So thanks, Will. That was awesome. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, sure. You can follow us, online at our website, LI Paranormal Investigators. Oh, I'm sorry. LI Paranormal. Oh yeah, it is liparanormalinvestigators.com. And then you can follow me, personally on Instagram. It's will_fox_paranormal. I've been a little inactive on there, but I'm going to get right back to that. And then, I think that's just about it.
And on the Long Island Paranormal website, if you guys are interested in learning a little more about the djinn, they have a whole section about it.
Right. Yeah. You could go to, right when you get to the website on the left side, there's a whole menu. If you go to types of hauntings, you can find djinn hauntings under there, and it gives you tons of information, a lot of stuff we didn't cover today. So if you're interested about djinn, there's plenty of information out there.
Yeah, so thank you, and we will link to that on our website. Real quick on our website too this week, and I only want to talk about this super briefly. I'm not going to get into it too much. There's a lot going on in Australia right now that really bums me out, so... and I know we have a lot of listeners down there. So there's a really great organization I've found. You can donate $5 Australian, which works out to like $3.50 US to just go and help out the koalas down there because they're cute. And I'm pretty sad about what's going on. So we'll have that on our website too. Okay. And then from there, again, thank you to Will. Thank you to Aaron Schilb for doing our music, as always. Guys, it's 2020 and I need some more ghost stories, so feel free to send us an email at ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. You can find us on our webpage, ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. There's a contact form right on there, too. Hit us up on Instagram, @ghosthuntinginnewengland, Twitter, ghosthuntingne, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland. I think that's it. You can send a carrier pigeon over to the Somerville Media Center in beautiful, sunny Somerville, Massachusetts. And this episode is coming out on Wednesday night, so what I'm going to talk about has hopefully already happened. But if you are not on following us on Facebook, please go there and see it. I'm going to be doing some Facebook Live recordings from France this week. For an episode that's going to come out the following week on the French catacombs, some cemeteries over there, and just some spookiness over in Paris. So
I think I speak for so many of the listeners when I say I cannot wait for the catacombs episode.
I'm hoping it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait either. I think it's going to be great. I'm like 72 hours away from being there. So I'm
so
really
exciting.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys so much. Happy New Year. Look forward to seeing you all here next week, too. And yeah, happy hunting, everyone. Bye. And then they have...
I could talk...
Oop.
I was going to say there are.
Will? Uh-oh. Where'd Will go? Will, did you cut out?
Levels of.
Will?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Am I here?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you start over?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, that all just cut out.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's me again, Amelia. So while Will and I were recording, some kind of weird things started happening with our equipment. So I threw it on here at the end of the episode. I hope you guys give me your feedback. Tell me what you think this is. It's been weird. This kind of thing's been happening a lot when we're discussing, you know, things like gin, things like cleansing spaces, how to get negative entities out. So, I don't know. I just thought I'd include it. Let me know your thoughts. Bye.
And then the next one down is red gin. They're very old.
Will?
Can you hear me?
Oh, you just came back. You said red gin and then you cut out.
This is spooky.
It is spooky. All right, so do you want to start with red gin again? Will? Uh-oh. All right, hold on. Will is locked out again. I'm checking my internet. My internet is totally fine. I'm going to cancel this and call. I just tried to send Will a message that said, hey, is your internet okay? And then all of a sudden my internet kinked out. So I'm reconnecting now. This is kind of weird too, because if you watched my Facebook Live a few weeks ago when... All right, I am back online. When I talked about using Palo Santo, and my internet cut out of nowhere, so... I'm going to go ahead and call Will back. Hold on.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah. No, I don't know what happened. That
is strange. Give me 1 second. I'm going to shut off a couple of things that are connected to the internet. Maybe I can get a little bandwidth back.
Sure. So I was checking mine the whole time it was going in and out, and mine said it was fine. And then I sent you that message, and all of a sudden it, like, just conked out on me. So I disconnected and reconnected. Now it looks fine, so I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm gonna shut some things off. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I think I'm losing connection because too many things are connected or something.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just covering all bases. Yeah, just shut it off.
So,
all right. So, what did you get me up to? Did I finish talking about black gin?
You finished talking about black gin. You literally said red gin, and then it totally cut out.
Okay. All right. I'll pick up on red gin then.
Okay.